alt though? Like yeah, popular?
Oh yeah, I started where alt was pop, like Nirvana, Stone Temple Pilots. Like I remember Stone Temple Pilots was my first song I ever played on the radio. Interstate Love Song. Boom, 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 boom. 104 KRBE.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I did.
I'm sitting here. We're just recording, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are good. You guys.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just kick this off and we'll keep talking. Michael Yo is joining me on the Talk More podcast today. We've already just started talking radio.
Yeah, we already know each other. We're homies. We're homies now. It's official. It's official.
It's totally official. I'm going to set the scene though. Michael Yo's here in San Francisco because he's going to be at Cobb's Comedy Club tonight.
Two shows tonight. Two shows tomorrow.
Yes.
Go to michaelyo.com for tickets, or is it Cobb's Comedy Club?
Cobb's Comedy Club.
Cabs.
Perfect. So yeah. Now we got the important stuff out of the way.
Oh, wait. And my Instagram, so you can see my son at Michael Yo.
That's important.
It is.
Where's my phone?
Because he's so talented. He's way better than any other 2-year-old kid.
What is your son doing these days? You have photos posted of him everywhere? Because I need to check this
out. Yeah, well, he's great at sports. He's hitting a baseball already. Oh, no, I'm being serious. Like,
shut up. Really?
He smacks the hell out of a ball, and he's a golfer already. Like, this kid is amazing. Like, literally the next Tiger Woods.
Oh, my God. He's so cute.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
For real. You guys need to look at Michael Yo's Twitter page. It's like the second post down from yesterday. Yeah. And his kid is like...
My kid is beautiful. He's black, white, and Asian.
Oh, my gosh.
We gave birth to a panda. He's an actual panda bear.
Cute.
Oh, do you have kids?
No kids.
Oh.
Just me. Single, no kids, living the freedom life.
Oh, well.
But one day, maybe, you know.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to make you feel upset or anything.
Oh, I don't.
Okay, good.
No, I feel great. I get this question a lot. You know what? Ironically, on podcasts, Andrea can probably attest to this because I'll have comedians come in and then the question comes up, are you single or are you dating? I'm like, nope, I'm single, no kids. And they're like, oh, you know, like there's,
oh,
like I'm like sad
wah,
about it.
Wah. Wah, wah. It's okay. You'll make it one day.
One day.
You'll get there.
One day my life will be complete by a man.
No. I love how you flip it around. Oh, okay. Okay.
I see this. It's 2019. I could do that.
You can say that. Yes, you can say that. And then as a guy, I can't say anything. I'm like, okay. Yeah,
you're like,
okay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we are terrible people. We are terrible people.
For the record, I'm not in any way a man hater. I'm all for it. I mean, you not so much. You're kind of a dick.
Oh, but no! Please don't man hate. Some of us are good. I'm a good one.
No,
I'm
there
a good
are
one.
Tons of good guys out there.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
I disagree.
No, I don't disagree,
really?
And I'm a guy.
Okay.
So I know this. I have friends. And they're terrible people.
You think
people.
Most dudes are terrible people.
Well, my wife won't even let me hang out with my friends anymore. That's how awful they are.
Oh, so that's a sign. And wives know. Sometimes you get like the crazy significant other that just is territorial. And then you get the ones that know these dudes are bad for you.
Well, when me and my wife go to my friend's wedding and my four best guy friends are there, one gives the best man speech. And he goes to the wife and goes, so... You remember when the guy's name, you met such and such, she was like a dog hanging around the house and wouldn't go away. Like literally.
What?
Because like, he thought it would get last. And then he goes, and man, I hate that you're getting married because you remember when we used to put all the girls' panties on a Christmas tree and those were the ornaments. And like he thought it was going to go well.
Yeah. And these are your friends.
And yes. And the girl's dad gets up there. And he pushes the dad off the stage. He goes, no, I'm not finished yet. Kind of waste it. And it just goes downhill. And he goes, she was like a lost puppy just walking around our house.
What is wrong?
But you wind it up with her. And like, it was the worst.
And he was being so serious. He was drunk serious.
No, he was serious.
Right.
But he thought it was funny.
Oh,
like
God.
He thought it would get laughs, yeah. You know, like you remember you were a dog hanging around our house.
He was the best man.
Yes.
So he had to give a speech.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And me being one of his closest friends. Now me and my two best guy friends, like we're a little group, like the hangover group. And I thought it was hilarious because I knew it was going to bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching this fall apart and nobody, it's funny if you know him. But if like 99.9% of the people didn't know him, so it bombed miserably.
That's horrible.
And I was so happy that it did because he was running his lines over with me. I go, dude, you can't do that. That's not funny. Yeah. No, the way I'm going to say it is funny. I was like, dude, it's not funny. Dude, it's going to be funny. Dude, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so you were like, I told you so.
And we have it on tape. And sometimes when he comes over, we just watch it. So my wife saw that and goes, yeah, you know what? You can't really hang out with those guys anymore. But I still do. But
you just lie with her about it?
No. I get her permission.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Fair enough.
Or she's with us.
That's even better. As long as she's there to kind of be like, all right, time to go.
Look, my dad gave me advice a long time ago how to stay married. He goes, be where they're at.
Yeah, that's great advice.
Just be where they're at. If she at yoga, you at yoga. If you at the club, she at the club. Just be where each other's at.
So you and your buddies, you said you're like the hangover crew?
Yeah.
Are you the Bradley Cooper of the group?
No, I'm the one that didn't drink. I was the responsible one. I took care of everybody.
So you're not the Zach Galifianakis. You're the...
Dennis, the Dennis guy.
The Dennis guy.
Yeah, I'm the Dennis guy.
Why can't I remember his name?
But Dennis is the one that got Ed Helms, right?
Ed Helms.
But he's the one that got married to the hooker, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so he was responsible, but that was his arc to do something crazy.
Right.
But I didn't marry a hooker. She's my wife, and her name is Claire.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Have you ever had to give a best man speech?
Did I? No.
Or a wedding speech?
Yes, I'm a great speaker.
Well, obviously.
I'm a great orator.
Right?
I'm like Barack Obama.
You know what's funny is I was checking out your website and it says...
Yeah, you were.
I was totally stalking you.
Oh, my God.
I know. And now I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It said comedian Michael Yo. And I was like, so you choose to go with comedian at the top, but your list, your resume is so stacked. Like you, and I'm not just blowing up your ego. These are facts.
Yes.
Like you legit, like you're a host, you're a radio host, you do TV, you comedy, like all this stuff. So is comedian at the top of your list of job duties?
Okay. So about a year ago, because I'm fairly new to the comedy game. About a year ago, I go, okay, Joe Coy is my mentor in comedy.
That's
great. He's the one that brought me in. So I go, and Joe Coy is extremely...
Is it an Asian thing?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And plus, he gave me confidence to do stand-up. He was there. And it's an Asian thing, too.
Uh-huh, okay.
You know, we're so proud of him. We love a Joe Coy. Hey, Joe Coy! I felt that everything I do now needs to push comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and whether it's radio, whether it's TV, it needs to be me being me pushing comedy. Because comedy is the ultimate goal, where if you can just... own your own business, which is comedy, or own your own podcast, like Joe Rogan, like he is inspirational to me. So if you can accomplish those two things, then nobody can cancel your show. Nobody can say, we don't want you. So it's controlling your own destiny. And Joe Coy is giving me that confidence in comedy. And then Joe Rogan is a person I look up to in podcasting. So eventually, probably within the year, I'm gonna start my own podcast, but it's gonna be like done right. Cameras, everything.
Yeah.
This is done right, but I'm talking about...
Dude, I just rolled my eyes. This is a podcast. You couldn't see me, but I totally rolled my eyes.
But I look at those guys and go, look, the podcast gets people to buy tickets to your show.
Mm-hmm.
That's one element I'm missing right now. It's my own podcast show. So that's what's next for me.
Maybe your name needs to be Joe.
Joe.
Joe Coy. Joe Rogan.
Joe. Yeah,
Joe,
I mean,
Yo. Maybe Joe Yo.
Well, me and Joe. If you want to hear the funniest thing ever, me and Joe only did 20 episodes of our own podcast years ago.
Joe Coy. Okay.
It was called the Yo Joe Show. And it's hard to find. If you listen to it, it is, I will say this, I will go on a limb. It is the funniest 20 episodes you will ever hear in podcast. It is hilarious.
Why isn't this resurfaced?
It does occasionally. I'll get Google alerts about it.
Okay.
But it's after I talk about it. It is so freaking funny. We were doing 250,000 downloads per episode and we didn't even care. Like, we did it for like 3 months, four months.
Yeah.
And we didn't even know the numbers till after we stopped it. Like, we were just doing it for fun. No money involved. We didn't really care.
How many years ago was this?
Like 7 or 8 years
ago. Okay, before it was like the thing.
Yeah, yeah. And if we would have still, and then I'm thinking, if we would have kept it going, we would have been huge right now.
Big, huge.
We could still push them out and place ads in them and stuff.
Oh, well, I don't know where they are either. Yeah.
They've got to be somewhere.
Well, I know if you Google it,
Coy's probably hoarding them.
He probably is making all that.
He's probably making money off of them.
Yeah.
Dick.
Now go, his man. Restaurants, his comedy.
Yeah,
he's got this restaurant in Vegas.
I went.
Yeah.
I go. He makes me go every time I go.
Yeah, I lived in Vegas for a lot of years, and so my nephew loves his place. So he's always talking about going there.
It's really good.
It's fantastic.
It's I mean, did he charge you?
He wasn't there.
Oh,
and yes, of course.
So you paid?
I would have paid either way.
He won't let me pay.
Yeah, well, I'm not buddies with him, so I just went there because I was taking my nephew out to eat, and he loves it.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah,
was anybody there when you were there?
No, the place was dead. Everyone seems to hate it.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I agree.
No. It's got a good buzz.
You went for a lunchtime.
Right? Yeah, I did actually. I took him for lunch.
Yeah, see, I go at dinner and it's packed.
Yeah. No, it's packed. Have you ever thought about getting into the restaurant industry? Because it seems like a lot of celebrities do.
No, my parents own restaurants for all their lives.
Oh,
so it's a thing where it's so much work. Like Joe shows up, he hires everybody. Like, but to run a restaurant, right? To me, you got to be involved in it because I'm like my parents. I hate people stealing shit from me, and that's the thing. My parents was like, they wanted to franchise a bunch, but they couldn't take people stealing from. Even if you estimate 5% being stolen every year, my parents are like, nope. You know?
Did you work in the restaurants that they?
I tried. They really wanted me to be the guy. Like when I was 17, 16, they were like, oh, don't go to college. You know, you can own a restaurant with us. And I was like, nah. So they put me through the drive-thru because I like talking.
Oh, so it's a fast food.
It's Slosky's Deli. I don't know if they have them.
Yeah. Slosky's
Deli. So they were early on Slice. So they owned a bunch of them at the time. But they wanted to own them, not just like four or five. They wanted to take over the world with Slosky's. And I was like, nah, that's not for me. But I was great at a drive-thru.
Of course.
Oh my God. Hey, welcome to Slosky's Deli, man. Take your order. Oh my God. Would you like the number one? Would you like to upsize that? I was great.
You're upselling them like crazy.
Oh my goodness. And I'm so happy because I love talking to people. So it was perfect. Being from radio, it's great. It's right? What we do. We talk to people.
So yeah, I'm like, I make the callers my co-host now because I'm solo all of a sudden. I'm like, this is a whole new experience.
Oh, yeah.
You did solo for a long time, right? Like, you had someone in the room with you. You had producers
and stuff. I had sidekicks, but it was my show. Yeah.
Right.
Where I love callers. Callers are my co-host. It's like Wendy Williams.
Right.
Wendy Williams calls all the audience her co-host. And here's the thing is, it's so funny, the misconception about radio. A lot of people go, the question radio consultants ask is, well, do people want to hear more music or more talking in the morning? And I tell those radio consultants, because I've been doing radio close to 25
for years.
For a long time. I'm ancient.
Yeah. You're like, yeah.
But I'm happy.
Wait, you're so old.
I am.
I'm just kidding.
No, I am old.
Look old at all. I was saying that ironically.
Because I'm black and Asian.
Okay.
Like,
maybe there's that.
I don't age.
Right. He's actually 75.
No, I'm 137.
You look like you're about 31.
No. Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
I'm dead serious. That's not even flattering.
No, I've been in radio 30 years. How crazy. I started when I was 14, so I'm 44.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, what I tell those consultants is, you're asking the question wrong. The question should be, would you rather listen to music or talk that you're interested in? Because that's the real question. Because the biggest shows in any city you go to are morning shows that talk a lot.
Yeah.
Because people are wired into what they say.
And they connected to people.
It's about people. Because if everybody's playing the same shit, the only thing that's going to stand out is talent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the reality, especially in 2019. If people didn't want to hear talk, they would just listen to their Spotify in the morning or
that's what
their
I'm
phone,
saying.
Whatever. Like they tune in the radio to get local content, hear some personality, and
that
and
will
good
never
music.
Die.
You know, there's a good mix of the
absolutely.
Both, but
and that will never die.
Never. Thank God.
Thank
you,
God.
You know, from your lips to God's ears. Did you watch the Spelling Bee last night? I saw you tweet.
Yeah, 8 winners.
I know. Crazy, right?
8 winners and they ran out of words.
Did you
how crazy is that? They ran
crazy.
Out of words.
I love the Spelling Bee.
G-Mo gets stoked
I
about
the Spelling
Bee. I love
the fucking Spelling Bee.
Why do you love it? Why do you love it?
No,
because you can't spell?
No, I can spell. So, you know what? All right, so I was telling DK this earlier, so I'm dyslexic, right? So so when Spellbound, the documentary came out like years and years, years ago, I saw that in the theater like 3 times. I thought it was incredible. Started watching this on TV back when I used to watch TV. Seeing kids excited to spell words.
Yeah.
Around 17, 18, you just lose interest for whatever.
You don't give a shit about anything.
Yeah, but then seeing kids excited to spell words and seeing how passionate and emotional they get when they mess up on one or when they hear the ding.
It's the truest emotion from a kid you can get.
Right.
It's the...
Before they get, you know, involved with, you know, dating and whatever. Like, this is like their thing and I love it.
But see, I look at it both sides. The pressure.
Oh, the parents.
The parents, the pressure, the failure of studying for a year and then bombing. Like I think about the other side too. It's great when 8 winners happen, but when there's only one winner and all these kids, I mean,
it's reminiscent of a simpler time to me.
Yeah.
But so I think about the Spelling Bee, and when I was a little kid, I did like the elementary school Spelling Bees. And I would literally get out the dictionary. Like the big old fat fucking dictionary. Mm-hmm. And I'd read them, and I didn't know how some of them were pronounced. You'd have to figure it out through the little phonetic thing.
Yeah.
Nowadays, not that it's easier to spell, but they've got the internet that'll pronounce the words and whatever. So I wanted to see.
I can't spell words.
Come on,
shit,
let's
but bring
try
it
this.
On.
Let's try
bring
this.
It on.
3 of the words from
I know
the Spelling
I can't
Bee
spell
last night. I picked 2 of the easier ones.
Oh, well, good.
I don't even know if I'm pronouncing these right, so you're really screwed.
If you can't say them, I definitely can't spell them.
How about ocelot?
Ocelot.
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 Yes.
I would say, does it start with an O?
Nope.
Yeah, see, I remember. Os. Eh?
Yeah.
Os. Slot.
Is it from Germany?
I don't know, dude.
Is it from, yeah, is it from Germany? Can I get it in a sentence?
Sure. I am trying to attempt to get Joe Coy, Michael Yo.
Wow. Oh,
that's racist.
That was so racist. Fucking racist.
You that's are racist.
Yeah. Can we edit that out?
Oh, man.
No, leave it in. Let everyone know I'm an asshole. Michael Yo is going to spell Ocelot. That's my sentence.
Michael, A O. I don't know. A S H. Os, I have no idea.
A U S.
Yeah. Okay, Gmo.
Okay,
bring
go
it
for
on.
It.
Oh, we in it. A U S.
Mm-hmm.
L A U T.
Hold on.
Ding ding ding.
You got hey! It.
Oh, he didn't know I was gonna do this either.
Okay. All right. What's the next one? What's the next one?
Joe Coy is going to. Just kidding. I don't even know how to pronounce this. Erysipelas. Almost positive that's the correct pronunciation.
Ari, you go first.
Ari, how about that? I'll phonetically. Erysipelas.
Ari, that's A.
Erysipelas.
I? Would you go with that?
No.
Ari.
Erysipelas.
I'll go Y.
A what?
I'll go with ARY.
You guys are so dumb right now.
Erysipelas?
Erysipelas.
Ear is, oh, ear.
Well, I think
is it air or ear?
E A R.
I'll go with Erysipelas.
E-R.
I'm trying to give you guys phonetic, like sounding out the letters instead of just saying it's probably pronounced
Erysipelas.
Erysipelas.
So Erysipelas is probably how it's pronounced, but I'm trying to like sound it out for you.
Erysipelas.
Erysipelas.
Hmm.
Don't Google it, you cheater. He got his phone out.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know.
I don't even know how to start that.
Erysipelas.
Erysipelas. Girl, you got, use it in a sentence. Girl, you got erysipelas.
No, you don't even want to attempt it?
Mm-mm.
Okay, E-R-Y.
E-R-Y, I knew it.
S-I-P.
Nope.
E-L-A-S.
Yeah, I'm a terrible speller.
Erysipelas.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, that was fun. At least you attempted two words and you sucked really bad. But then I sucked worse by calling you Joe Coy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was pretty much a fail.
Is this whole podcast so far a fail or just that one part?
No. I think it was good till that part.
Till that part.
Till you made me look like I can't spell. I think we were good. No, but I can't
spell. We're going to edit that out.
I do got something to say about your start in radio, though.
Yeah, bring it on.
So being 14 years old, he said that's when you got in radio, right? And so being biracial, I'm biracial myself. So
are you?
Yeah, I'm black and Salvadorian, Blackadorian.
Oh, Blackadorian. All right, what?
So my whole thing is everyone got a different story on how they got in radio, but with you finding your identity in radio and finding your identity as a teenager, going through what you were going through.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure like what I was going through was like... I had identity issues.
Now I'm going to speak out of turn for you because this is me looking at you.
Yeah.
People would just assume you're black. Because when I look at you, I see black.
Well, back then I was either like, they would think Puerto Rican.
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, with me, nobody ever called me Asian.
Okay.
Like nobody would ever come up to me and go, hey man, you're Asian. Yeah. So I had to deal with that. I grew up in an all white neighborhood. My dad, like my parents were the only mixed couple.
Yeah.
Like in the area, not just on the block, in the area. There was no mixed kids at my school. Word. So that's what I dealt with.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, but now that's what all my comedy's about, you know, and it brings everybody together.
So getting into radio with discovering or just being who you are, like, you know, living your truth, being black and Asian and finding like your identity in radio. How was that? Like at 14, like what made you into radio?
Well, I got into radio because Paul Cubby Bryant, he's a radio DJ. Mm-hmm. Paul Cubby Bryant, I was his intern. And I got into radio because he invited me out. Never forget it. It was this teenage club called Kaboom because Cubby was the youngest radio DJ. So he couldn't do the older clubs.
Okay.
He was 17.
Yeah.
And I was like 14. He was 17, 18 years old doing these clubs, these teenage clubs. Club was called Kaboom. I saw him do it. I go, I want to do that. And not the person that like has to clean up everything after. I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
And so we became friends. I was his intern. And from there, radio took off. You know, I went from Houston to Austin to Miami. And, you know, now I'm on a different radio platform.
Yeah.
But, you know, one day I want to get back into terrestrial radio as well. So it's a thing where radio helped me find my identity, but comedy really... Really, living in LA found my identity because you get a lot of no's in Hollywood.
Right.
But if you can go on stage and get 400 yeses, you know, it gives you this superpower where it's like, all right, y'all can say no all you want, but I know people like me.
Yeah.
For me, not maybe this role you want me for, because Hollywood can really beat you down where you feel insecure about yourself.
Yeah.
And comedy, what it did for me, it actually made me more secure in who I am. And you find your real voice. And you go, oh, people like me. Because I'm a real person on stage. I'm not a character. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think
you own your content too. It's straight from your brain or you know, or whoever you're working with. But like, I would assume that like putting out the jokes or whatever it is that you're doing, it's like instant fulfillment on your work.
Man, when you get that, when you do at the Comedy Store or Laugh Factory Improv in LA, you do a 12-minute set, and when you crush and the laughter keeps coming, feel like it's a superpower. Mm-hmm. Crowd is high-fiving you when you get off stage. I mean, and after you got like three no's out of casting, you know, it's like, oh, okay. But it gives you this confidence to go into castings going, you know, I'm gonna do this character as me the way you want it. And if you don't want me, fine. Because you know eventually somebody's gonna want you. And especially like a Joe Coy, a Bill Burr, a Sebastian now, like real comedy's come to, it's not jokes anymore. Because I'm not a joke teller. I'm a storyteller with funny stories. So that's where comedy's going today.
Sure.
So it's kind of caught up to, or not, it's kind of falling where exactly where I am. So I'm in the right place at the right time. Where 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I couldn't have been a comic because I'm not like the boom, ch, boom, ch.
Right.
That's not me.
Everything's evolving. And I think,
it is.
You know, I hate to beat a dead horse, but like social media has changed the way people are consuming things.
Yeah.
The things that, you know, the timing of things, what they find funny. But so of all the things you've done, and I know this is going to be a hard question.
Yeah.
What is your most proud moment professionally?
Because
I'm sure like your son
my
and your marriage,
yeah.
like that's a whole other category
that tops
everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so let's set that aside as the elite of everything. Uh-huh. But professionally, what do you think is the greatest thing you feel like you've accomplished?
A name that people know, like in the industry, they know what they're going to get.
Yeah.
When you say Michael Yo, you know, oh, he's about his family, which is personal, but you know you're going to get a guy that's fair, that's fun, that wants to make you look better. Especially when I interview celebrities, I get requested all the time because they know they're going to look good.
Yeah.
And I'm there to make them look good. I'm not there to drag any dirt out or anything like that. And if I do ask one of those questions, I let them know before I even ask it.
Sure.
I pull them to the side, say, I'm going to ask you this. I don't give a shit what you say.
Right.
Just know it's coming.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm very honest with people. And when I do press, like people go, oh, this guy can actually talk. A lot of comedians can't talk when they come in, you know? So it's a building this vibe that Michael Yo's family friendly, his comedy is on point, and it's all about, I know it's not personal, but it's all about family.
Yeah.
And bringing people together. And that's the vibe I'm getting right now. And that's what
that's
I
cool.
love. And it's me. And it's me. But the individual thing, I think, is comedy. The first time I went on stage on a dare from Chelsea Handler.
Yeah.
Because I was on a round table and...
You're great. I used to watch you on that round table.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I got made fun of, but that was my role.
Sure.
But
you crushed it in that role. Like, it was a perfect fit, a perfect dynamic between everyone there, and you filled that role perfectly.
It was, because they needed that guy where I was like Chelsea's little brother that she always picked on. And it was a thing where she opened the door to comedy for me, dared me to do it. I did it, and Joe Coy, I remember the first time I was going to go up, it was in Miami, Joe goes, dude, you got to do this because you're from such a fantastic background. There's no way you can't be funny, you know, because just your upbringing.
Yeah.
And I was telling him stories. He goes, say that. He goes, the piece of advice Joe gave me one of the first days I ever started, he says, if you ever sit down to write a joke, stop. Because it's not about jokes. It's about people loving you and then growing from there. You know, you're like a sitcom. Like, you know, with Joe now, he's one of the biggest comics in the world, but he started 30 years ago. You know what I mean? And it's a thing where people are invested in him more than the jokes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where you want to be at, where people come out to see the next part of your life. And what I learned is people outgrow jokes, but they don't outgrow you.
Yeah.
So if you don't make it just about the jokes, if they're more connected to you, they'll keep coming out. You know, you just got to get them to... I think the biggest mistake I could have made in my career is... but I had to do it to grow is they threw me out on the road so quick where I had to learn while I was touring. And most comics don't tour till 12 years in, you know, like a full tour.
Right. Well, you already had such a big name.
Yeah. You know, I was out at a year and a half. And me, a year and a half, and now is
scary.
Is a completely different comedian. Oh, it's, I could, I mean, I will say this egotistically, I was okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wasn't like I am now. So I think that could hurt me in some places, but you know, it's all about getting those people back if you did lose them back then. But in other markets like New York, you know, as soon as I walked there, it's sold out. Like all my shows are sold out. But I started in New York like 5 years in.
Oh,
you know
okay.
what I mean? So
yeah,
it's a thing still, where where it depends when you first go into a market. And so like a couple of markets, I feel that's happening. But you know, now when they come out, they go, oh, okay,
yeah,
we get it. So.
Well, you're so well-rounded, and I think that, like what you said, you know, people are going to connect with you, and you said it's all about family. Well,
yeah.
that's who you are for real.
Yeah.
And that's what really draws people in, is when they feel like you're not just some celebrity on stage, or you're not just some guy telling jokes, but they know who you are.
Yeah.
And so wearing your heart on your sleeve. And
that's the same for radio.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's why I've been successful in radio, is because people get to know who you are. Like, so many people go, oh, you know, don't talk about this. Talk just about the music, just about the artist. It go, well, they can't connect to you. People want to know your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, if your format is top 40 and you can do that in 2 minutes over a song or into a stop set, that's where you need to be. Because if you're just a dude saying songs, you're a jukebox. But if you can do that while the audience knowing, oh, my son did this and he's two, how do I get him to stop throwing things?
Yeah.
He threw a Buzz Lightyear and it hit me smack in the face last night and I'm pissed about it. How do you stop your kid from throwing stuff? Phone lines will blow up. They want to help you out. And
they
that's
be where like,
you want to
be. Oh, I got your answer. Or they want to be like, oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might be. You know, it's when you're talking about kind of being the real deal and being yourself, and you mentioned you obviously worked a lot with Chelsea Handler.
Yeah.
I thought about the fact that she kind of left her special and she's like so politically involved now. Obviously, she has a book out and stuff that she's promoting like crazy. But I thought, wow, what a strange departure and a different side of her personality. But I respect whether it's artists, comedians, actors, any type of, when they're following their passion and they're true to who they are as a real human being, because now I'm still following what she's doing and all of the great things she's doing with her platform, even though she's not necessarily doing a comedy show every day.
No, she's not. And it's a thing where when you were on that show, it was lightning in a bottle, like literally. And that was the other pressure of getting me on the road. I was selling out shows and had no comedy background. So I was bringing like 6 comics and putting myself in the middle just to try to be like, it was an onslaught. And basically,
they put so many people on the map too.
I tell everybody, she was the American Idol of stand-up comedy, because if you were on her show at that time, that show was hot, literally you could sell out a couple shows a weekend just off that show. It's a thing for comedy, I've never seen a show like that. And I think it's time for another show to come back like that, to be that. Because I think that's what comics are missing today, that one show. After Midnight kind of did it.
I was just going to bring that one up.
But not to the level.
Not even close. It brought in social media.
It did.
Which I thought was really, really, really perfect. But there was just something missing and I couldn't figure out what it was, because it didn't have the success.
It was more jokey. You know, it was kind of like, here's a topic, crack a joke. Where the other one, at least you talked about real topics. And it was literally, Chelsea, I remember she giving me the best advice, is that, like, after I started stand-up, she said, after she got over, you're going to do miserable and you're going to bomb. once she saw I was going to have a career in it, she goes, do the work. Don't be that TV person that just shows up, that sucks at the club and failing miserably, and being the person that everybody's like, oh, he's just getting stuff because he's on TV. Because once that goes away, you know, that everything goes away.
Yeah.
You know, so got to keep doing
the
work.
Crafts,
you
got to
keep doing the work. And it's what I love about comedy. It's so humbling. You know, you could have a great show. Like, I'm to the point now where I have solid shows every show. But, you know, I'm still, as far as the comedy crowds, I'm still new. You know, like, they don't watch Entertainment Tonight. They don't want, like, so you got to do the road work and you got to get in front of these people, because a lot of people in comedy, this is the first year I've ever been on shows, and this is no lie. So it's only 5 months in, 6 months in, where people go, oh, comedian Michael Yeo is here. Yeah. Before it'd be like, oh, he's a host, he does this, he does that. Now I'm turning the page on that and going, oh, he's a comedian, that can host and do all that stuff. So that's where I am now. So, you know, I was talking to Joe about it the other day. He goes, man, it's going to take a couple of years. I got the special out. So once you shoot a special, now your clips can go out. So people are going to really discover you can do comedy. So he goes, 2-3 years from now, you're going to be killing it. It's just going to take time. You got to get out there. And you got, he says, if 5 people come to a show, you got to perform. You got to kill it for those 5 because then that makes 10.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's sold out or not. You got to give the best show ever. So that's where my mind is right now on the tour.
Well, I'm excited for all the success you've had. And I don't say that like as just a silly line. Like, no, it's really cool to see someone that is so talented and so hardworking and so passionate really achieve the success.
Thank you.
I want to ask you one thing because it'll really tell me if you've made it. Have you met Keanu Reeves?
Yes, several times.
Hey.
We have the same personal trainer.
Oh.
This is my connection to happen. Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
There it is.
God, I want to get him on my show.
He doesn't do anything unless.
So it's a kind of a joke on my show because I have this obsession with this human being that he is.
Yeah,
it's not like physical; like he's handsome, but like the human being that he is like this ongoing thing where anytime there's Keanu news, I share it on the show because I think he's like God's gift to humanity.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, you wouldn't, but I would.
Okay, all right. No, but yeah, I've interviewed him like 3 or 4 times.
All right, well, if you ever talk to him again, tell him DK in San Francisco said what's
DK
up.
Got you.
He also just said there was an article that he was doing an interview recently where he said he is actually lonely. And I was like, I'm here for you, man.
Yeah.
And when I read that, I go, yeah. Pretty
makes
accurate.
Sense. Yeah.
When you interview him, you're like, yep.
He's a dark soul.
Dark.
Yeah.
I mean, but he was in The Matrix. What do you expect?
Right. A lot of The Matrix.
I know, right?
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you.
DK.
I hope your shows this weekend are fucking amazing. I know they will be. And next time you're in the Bay Area, you better be right back here.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, Michael Yo.
Thank you.
Joe Coy.
Can we take a quick picture?
Yeah, of course.